1181.
Showers likely this morning. They could be snow showers in the upper valley. A chance of rain showers this afternoon. High temperatures, low to mid-40s. West wind 20 miles per hour. Could be gustier during the course of the morning. Hood River County School District on a one-hour delay today.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 8th of January. Thanks for being with us as we embark on another morning. Again, I just heard it mentioned a moment ago. We'll mention again, Hood River County School District running on a one-hour delay today. Only school district in the area that we have with a delay this morning. And actually, it was when I got the parking lot here this morning. Took my first step, and I slid a little. So it is slick out there today, so be careful out there. And, you know, roads, unless you're going really high up, there's no real major advisories, but still, be careful. It's wintertime. We're getting a reminder that, yes, we may eventually get some snow down at the lower elevations. Maybe. By the way, the freezing level goes up to 9,000 feet over the weekend, so don't get used to this, it sounds like. I think I saw a long-range forecast, like, about the 20th or so, we might get a little snow in the lower elevations. And it was a real maybe at that point. But anyway, we're going to talk Hood River Rotary Ski Night here in just a few minutes. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1790, President George Washington delivered the first Day of the Union Address in New York City. 1815, the last major engagement of the War of 1812 came to an end as U.S. forces defeated the British in the Battle of New Orleans, not having received word over the signing of a peace treaty. 1867, the U.S. House of Representatives joined the Senate in overriding President Andrew Johnson's veto of the District of Columbia Suffrage Act, giving black men in the nation's capital the right to vote. 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson, in his State of the Union address, declared an unconditional war on poverty in America. 1998, Ramzi Youssef, the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, was sentenced in New York to life in prison without possibility of parole. 2011, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona shot and critically wounded when a gunman opened fire as the Congresswoman met with constituents in Tucson. Six people were killed and 12 others injured. Gunman Jared Lee Loeffner was sentenced in November of 2012 to seven consecutive life sentences plus 140 years. 2016, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the world's most wanted drug lord, captured for a third time in a daring raid by Mexican Marines, 6 months after walking through a tunnel to freedom from maximum security prison. Days for today. It is Argyle Day today. It's also Bubble Bath Day today. Is Mr. Bubble still around? I mean, I remember that as a kid. I don't know if they still make that anymore. Yeah. It was just some soap suds that made bubbles in the bath. Cameron's nodding his head yes, so he would represent the people who are far younger than me. He has better knowledge of the trends of today than I do. And I suspect he can still get it. It's Earth's Rotation Day today. I'm not sure why we celebrate it necessarily, but if you're in the Flat Earth Society, I'm sorry. The Earth's round. We went up on rockets. We took photos. It's round. And frankly, if you're in the Flat Earth Society, this isn't the show for you. It's not. It's National Career Coach Day today. If you need a career coach, there you go. It's Show and Tell at Work Day today, by the way. I don't know if your coworkers are busy, if you really want to annoy them by doing Show and Tell at work. I'm not sure that's such a great idea. It's also Healthy Weight, Healthy Look Day today. And then there's our food for today, which I'm not sure advances that goal. It's National English Toffee Day today. So there you go for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. It is 8:08 in the morning. We'll come back, talk Hood River Rotary Club Ski Night right after this.
You've created a cozy home retreat.
Now let Carrier provide the quiet, efficient heating you can depend on all winter with a range of innovative solutions that deliver premium comfort and warmth. Call Oregon Equipment for comfort you can count on. Proudly living local, buying local, and supporting local since 1946. Oregon Equipment wishes you a wonderful warm holiday season. Visit OregonEquipment.com. Carrier, for the world we share.
Attention bargain hunters. Blissful Mattress is moving locations and leaving the Dalles, which means a massive closeout sale. Save up to 70% off everything. Mattresses, mattress protectors, pillows, and sheets. Once it's gone, it's gone. Because Blissful Mattress is clearing it all out. But you've got to hurry, as their last day is January 18th. Blissful Mattress, Cascade Square in the Dalles. Closeout savings up to 70% off, now through move-out. Ensure your next sleep is blissful and save big while you still can.
If you have questions or issues with things like consumer loans, mortgages, insurance claims, or money scams, the state of Oregon has advocates here to help. Get answers in action at dfr.oregon.gov.
Si usted tiene preguntas o quejas acerca de seguros, préstamos, hipotecas o fraude financiero, Oregon tiene representantes del consumidor listos para ayudarle. Reciba respuestas y acción en dfr.oregon.gov.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:11 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today as we continue along on this Thursday morning. Tradition, Hood River Rotary Ski Night, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is coming up. That is just about, 11 days away on January the 19th, a Monday. I think I have my dates right. I know I'm in front of me. Okay. Judy Dutcher of the Rotary Club just informed me I'm correct, and Sarah Shaw is on their scholarship committee is with us. Good morning to both of you ladies. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Mark.
Judy, first of all, I guess the good news is it appears there will be snow on Mount Hood for ski night. I think when you first contacted me about getting on, I think it was at that Rotary Club meeting I attended. I think there was concern at that point. Out the snow, so I was kind of holding off, and luckily here in the last few days we got more snow.
There was concern with the lack of snow, and I was at the mountain yesterday, and I probably will go today.
Okay.
They have had 17 inches of new snow in the last 24 hours, and their base is 48 inches, and the skiing is pretty darn good.
Okay, so they should be able to hold in as the freezing level goes back up over the weekend. And
hope so. Don't get any rain, and it just gets groomed and compacted.
So how long have you guys been doing this now, the ski night?
Well, I did determine that it is our 40th year.
Okay.
And it's been a wonderful partnership between Mount Hood Meadows and Hood River Rotary Club that we've had this ski night. Because it's a holiday, the area has stayed open until 9 o'clock on a Monday, which is not usual.
Sure.
But because it's a holiday, we've been doing that now for 40 years, and we have a lot of return people that we see every year that come. It's great.
And I think it starts, I want to say, sometime in the afternoon, I believe, is when people can go up and take advantage of this.
Yes. The ticket that you can purchase online is available from 3 until 9. If you are a pass holder, you can use your pass that day and ski. If you want to make a donation to the Hood River Rotary Club, you can. We would appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll have a presence in the Sahali Lodge.
Uh-huh. Correct. Okay. We'll have our Rotary booth set up there. So,
Let's just help you how you can get the passes, first of all. I believe it's skihood.com is where you can go and get them.
Correct.
So how much are they?
They have what they call dynamic pricing.
Okay. And they've gone to that one. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And so the earlier you buy them, the better the price. I looked yesterday, and a junior can get a ticket for around $29, and an adult can get it for $49. But that was yesterday's price, mm-hmm. because it does change.
Okay.
But it's still a discounted price, mm-hmm. and Meadows very generously gives us a portion of those mm-hmm. ticket sales towards our scholarship fundraising.
Mm-hmm. How much do you guys raise in a given club ski event? And I know it can probably vary depending on year and everything.
It varies on the year. It varies mm-hmm. on the snow, the conditions. You know, we're in the several thousand dollars, mm-hmm. You know, probably around 20, mm-hmm. but okay. sometimes more.
Okay. And,
correct.
It goes to the scholarship fund. And Sarah, tell us about what you guys do with scholarships there.
So the Hood River Rotary Club, our major fundraising goes towards scholarships for students graduating from schools in Hood River County. Mm-hmm. There's a few ways to apply if you are a student enrolled at Hood River Valley High School. There is an online application process through a software called Kaleidoscope, and students, graduating seniors, will know about this. If you attend other schools in Hood River County or you are a homeschooled student, I urge those people to please go to the Hood River Rotary website, where the scholarship application will be posted by this coming Monday.
Mm. How many kids do you tend to be able to? I know it probably varies depending on year and funding, like everything else, but how many kids are you able to help with scholarships?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The number of students that we are able to assist depends on our fundraising efforts, how much money we actually raise. Mm-hmm. So that does vary from year to year. On average, we assist 13 to 18 scholarships, and those scholarships range in, again, depending on the resources raised, from $2,500 to $3,000 per scholarship. We have a general Rotary scholarship, mm-hmm. but then we also have some named scholarships that are specific towards in memory of former Rotarians or relatives of Rotarians. And all this information can be found on our website and also on Kaleidoscope.
What are some of the qualifications to get a scholarship? I mean, obviously, a Hood River County student is the Rotary Club is number one. But what sort of, I assume it's not fully academic in this case.
You're absolutely right. And I would like to stress mm-hmm. that students do need a minimum GPA of a 2.5.
Okay.
They need to be pursuing post-secondary education. And I want to be clear in that includes apprenticeship or training programs, community college, or a four-year institution. Mm-hmm. And there, I want to, some of the applications that we review do have a academic excellence component to them. But take outside of the GPA, we take into account financial need, mm-hmm. Community service, and that community service could be in service to, let's say, a nonprofit, their church. It could also take into account a student who has to have a part-time job to assist their family in covering their financial needs. Or community service could also be taken as serving your family and taking care of your siblings or an aging relative. So it's quite broad in how we define community service. So that we encourage as many students to apply.
And Judy, the folks we have here with the Ski Night is the scholarship fund. But that's just one of the things you do as a club, isn't it? I mean, you guys are involved a lot.
It is. We do a number of community projects. Mm-hmm. And we give dictionaries to all the fifth graders. Mm-hmm. We do litter cleanup on I-84. We've mm-hmm. built the skate park. We've improved upon the library and the Odell Fairgrounds. We've helped the next door with a number of things. So people will sometimes come to us with a project they might have in mind, and we'll look again at our resources and can we do something that is community-based.
Actually, about the skate park the other day, I drove by, I saw a new use for the skate park. Remote control cars.
Oh.
There are people driving remote control, you know, the little, you know, RC cars on those ramps.
Perfect. Multi-use.
Multi-use park. I just happened to see that. I never seen that before until the other day.
Yeah. But and we've been really, since COVID, we've been very, very involved with the Fish Food Bank.
Right.
Like I say, we'll do a lot of cleanup kind of projects, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know for the scholarship fund, I think, the Ski Night's a major fundraiser, obviously. But I think you do some other fundraisers, too, don't you, during the course of the year?
We do. We're going to have a new one this year. It'll be in the summer, and their fundraising committee is working on it. It's going to be a rummage sale, and it will be something really new for us. So other clubs within our Rotary district have done it and been very successful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because you guys had me there as a speaker the other day, and thank you for having me. I had a fun time. Who is the Rotary? I mean, give us an idea of who is the Rotary Club and the people there.
Okay. Well, we are a group of business people, and we are what's called a service club. So our goal, we're a nonprofit. Our motto is service above self. So the idea is to get together, network, find projects to work on, and do them for the better of the community. Mm-hmm. And again, we are part of Rotary International, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, 1.4 million people, where our club is small. But for our size town, we're 108 members, which is a pretty darn good group. Mm-hmm. And we've initiated some new things about joining. You don't have to be a business person. You can just be a community service-minded person. And we have corporate memberships now, too.
Okay. So, but Hood River Rotary Club, I mean, you guys meet, I think it's, I forget the day I even came. That's how I'm doing on my first week back from vacation. But you meet, I think, about once a week or so.
Once a week on Thursday at noon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
people are invited. Yeah. Can come and be a guest of our club. We usually meet at the Best Western Hood River Inn, but sometimes we'll get moved to a different location.
Again, Rotary Ski Night, going to be coming up on Monday the 19th, 3 to 9 up at Mount Hood Meadows. Can you get tickets for this at the gate, or is this pretty much in advance these days?
Yes, you can at the ticket booth. But I do encourage people to buy tickets early because the pricing is better.
Mm-hmm.
And also invite, you know, anyone can come. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Rotarians.
Yeah.
And invite that friend of yours who hasn't been skiing or snowboarding in a while that doesn't have a pass and say, come on up to the mountain and join me. And it, given the current conditions, it should be a pretty good day on the 19th.
I mean, it's just, I always call it Rotary Ski Night. I probably insult the snowboarders out there when I do that, don't I? But I assume you get snowboarders up there for this.
Absolutely. And I try to not say just ski because, you know, the people that come to the mountain are a mix of both. Mm-hmm. And everybody's up having a good time.
But admittedly, people know what Rotary Ski Night is.
Right, Rotary Ski and Ride Night.
So I want to make sure, you know, make sure you make the money. That's the big part of this here. So again, 3 to 9, again, how people can get the tickets?
Go to the Meadows website, skihood.com, and look on their event page. It actually showed up on their homepage yesterday because it is the next big fundraising an event at Meadows.
I know they had Fish Food Bank a couple days ago up there, and it sounds like the snow arrived just in time for that to work out fairly well. So Again, it is coming up Monday, January 19th, 3 to 9. It's a big benefit for the Hood River Rotary Scholarship Fund, so a great cause. And I know a lot of people, all you folks out who are winter sports enthusiasts, always look forward to this. And there you go. It's a good time coming up on the 19th. Judy, Sarah, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
It is 8:24 in the morning. We'll come back, check out news for you right after this.
Everybody loves the season of giving, but now the season of paying for it is upon us. That not-so-wonderful time of the year when millions of Americans open their credit card statements, stare in horror at the balance, and resolve then and there to find new ways to save money. If you're among those Americans, why not start by cutting your wireless bill in half right now with Pure Talk's Saver Plan? It's easy. You'll get unlimited talk, text, and 3 gigs of high-speed data on a super-fast, nationwide 5G network for just $20 a month. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Ho, ho, ho! And if you're active or former military or a first responder, you'll save an additional 20% every single month. That's #250. Say Mike Rowe for the gift that keeps on saving from America's wireless company. Pure Talk.
So, do you want to hit the range this weekend?
Sounds good. I do want to pick up some ammo and supplies first, though.
Yeah, me too. Have you seen those red dot sights? They help even a mediocre shot like me hit the target every time.
Oh, wow. I've seen you shoot. That is impressive.
I know, right? Wait, what?
Gorge Guns is on target for all your shooting supplies and accessories. You want to talk or learn anything and everything about guns? You'll find it at Gorge Guns. This is Travis Arney, 25-year industry professional, firearms aficionado, and Gorge Guns general manager. Trust Gorge Guns for the service, knowledge, and solutions you want for hunting and self-defense. At our beautiful new location of the only gun shop in Hood River, you'll find firearms, scopes, suppressors, ammo, accessories, in-house modifications and installations, ARs, class referrals, target practice info, appraisals, and gunsmith referrals. It's all at Gorge Guns in our new location, 1040 Tucker Road, Hood River. Online at gorgeguns.com. Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the gorge.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
#8:26 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Thanks for being with us. Again, you can go to skihood.com for the Rotary Ski Night tickets. Hood River Rotary Ski Night, that's also a great event. I did not realize that the ski industry was now doing dynamic pricing. I mean, I figured probably there, you know, price would be less expensive on a weekday than a weekend. Golf does that, etc. Dynamic pricing is something I've become familiar with in the sports ticketing world. And I think everybody uses it now. The San Francisco Giants are the ones who started this. And basically, it's a way to... It was the next step from... There was a time a number of years ago, and college football's done it for a long time. Remember, it was always more expensive in Eugene to go see the Ducks play Washington in football than any other school, because it was, the ticket demand was a little bit more. They could get the ticket price. And professional sports started doing that to an extent, oh, probably about 2 decades ago. Where, let's say, well, I'll use an example, because I do this because my wife's favorite team is New York Rangers. We go to see the Seattle Kraken play the New York Rangers, who are a fairly popular team. The reasons escape me, but I kid there. And, okay, let's say this ticket was all... I'm picking a section or anything, but let's say the ticket... Like, for the Rangers, it might be $100. Whereas for a less popular team coming into town in Seattle, let's just say the Ottawa Senators, that same seat might be $70. And it used to be fixed, though. Now what you get for the single-game ticket pricing at athletic events... If a game is selling very quickly, the price adjusts, quote, accordingly. In many ways, what this also now ties in with it with sporting events. This would not apply to the ski industry, obviously, but sporting events. Teams now, through what's available, the way you can do ticketing online, what they have done is try to make it where the upsell, I'd say, for a sold-out game, where you used to pay, quote, a broker or a scalper, and it'd be a price over the face value. Well, now with your digital ticketing, they can cut some of those people out, even though the big brokers still can do it because they'll just buy enough tickets. But it's hard now for the guy. Remember the guy used to be on the street corner at a game? If for those of you who used to do this, I did this a couple of times, I will say. And so now, though, you can't do that with your tickets. You have to sell it through the team's resale. Now the team gets a lot of the markup on the resale. It's a wonderful scam. And with the dynamic pricing, now if you do happen to find a game where there isn't much demand, you actually can get good deals. I mean, there is the flip side to this. But let's say the Ranger game is selling very quickly. That $100 ticket 2 weeks later might be $150 because it's scarcity is driving the ticket price. I'm not a big fan of this, but I'm old. Even though this is one of the numerous things with, again, I want to be careful here because Mal Hood, this isn't what Ski Hood's doing, by the way. Mal Hood Meadows isn't doing this extent. I think probably what they're doing is just more dynamic, as in weekends and holidays are a little more. Golf courses are a little more. Everything's a little more. Yeah. I'm going to go to the professional sports side of the deal. And Cameron, you're popping your mic on. Now you're more of a concert goer, I think, right?
Yes. I was.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, as you said you don't like it, but you're older. I'll say as someone a bit younger, we don't like it either.
We have found common ground.
We don't like it either. I have seen scalpers in real life. Funny enough, I've seen it in Broadway.
Okay.
When I was in New York.
Now, are they still using paper tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how
you can still purchase paper tickets there.
That's the only way you really can do it now, if you're going to be, it used to be you got off the bus, the shuttle bus into Autzen Stadium, you walked out, and there were guys, and they had seating charts literally on their chain.
Okay.
And they would have tickets available for you to buy at a price. Now, in that case, the price would go down as it got closer to kickoff and they got nervous if they had tickets in their hands still. That hasn't been a problem in Eugene for 20-plus years now, but yeah, I remember those guys. In fact, I remember when I was a kid trying to think, how are these guys making any money? The stadium's half empty. I can get in for a buck and a quarter if I need to. Okay, that sort of thing. But now, the ticketing today, it's driven me out of going to a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
Now, part of this also is I get tired of driving into various places, et cetera. That's the older part of me. But I'm to the point now with a lot of this, I'm just not willing to.
You know,
it's outpricing most of us now.
It makes it harder to impulse buy,
good
for us, the consumers, mm-hmm. but kind of funny on the part of the sellers that they would. You know, kind of.
Well,
outprice you there.
Well, they're doing fine here. It depends on the event, obviously.
True enough.
I'm pretty sure if I had tickets and I had free reign to be able to move any price I wanted for the Seahawks' upcoming playoff game in Seattle, I'm pretty sure I'd do well with that. because the demand's going to be there,
right?
Let's say you're trying to move tickets for, well, I'll use the Portland Trailblazers the last few seasons in March and April when the team is hopelessly out of contention. Might not be the case this year, but in years past here, recently it has been. It was actually, we found online, one of your predecessors here and I, about 2-3 years ago, it was cheaper to get Blazer tickets online than Portland Winterhawk Junior hockey tickets at the time online.
Philly.
Yes. The Winterhawks had a very good team that year.
That stings.
That does sting, by the way. If you're the NBA team and your tickets are going for like $5 and the 16 to 19-year-old hockey team tickets in the same building or the same complex are going for $50 and more. And this gets into the fees also, in which actually I think that's worse than dynamic pricing, by the way, because dynamic pricing, if we as consumers hold back, the prices slide down, the algorithm takes the price down.
Right.
Those fees from the ticket service providers, one in particular that I won't name because I don't know if you, I don't actually know if you can damage their reputation anymore because they've been sued so many times at this point. But the one that handles ticketing in the Rose Garden and other places, there are major outlets in the Northwest. I mean, I went and bought Kraken Ranger tickets over the summer for the game we went to in November. The fees jumped it up by 25%. Like, they had handling fees. I'm going, this is all digital. How much handling fee can there be here? I call it a convenience fee if you want to. Don't call it a handling fee. There's no handling. I'm not even sure if anybody had hit a keystroke to send us the tickets.
Yeah, you know, I can't really defend that. I have
no clue
what the idea behind it is.
There is.
Well, I know what the idea is. It's to make money.
Yeah, well, it's to make money. And I don't have a problem with adding some to it. It does make it. There is a convenience to it, but it certainly isn't the percentage that we're. Yeah, it's, and I know this has been a big deal in the music industry too.
Can you call it a convenience fee if everything is online? You can't like get a paper ticket anymore.
Well, no, but here's what I'm going to say. I'm old enough to remember when you had to go to a ticket outlet and physically
a ticket outlet,
or get your tickets by mail.
By mail?
Yes, they would.
Okay.
I mean, when I was a kid, we would go down to Southern California, go to a Dodger game,
right?
When we were down there. And a couple months before, my parents would fill out the ticket order form, send it down to Los Angeles with the check, and the Dodgers would then send back the tickets for the game.
Okay, I'm too young for that.
You are way too young for that, yes. No, that's how we used to buy tickets in many ways, especially when because most of us in outlying areas, and Eugene would be outlying in this case, and then Ticketmaster came along initially. Like, you could go to Fred Meyer and buy the tickets. And that was a big step up. Yeah, and you paid a convenience fee for it, but it wasn't outrageous, and you understood why. You know, today, what's the convenience? It's 8:36. I should do the news here. I just realized we got off on a tangent here. Well, down to my system. Again, to me, it wasn't the high price of the tickets that the Kraken were charging me. It was the high price of the Ticketmaster, the fees that were driving me crazy. Anyway, Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman County is trying to determine their options as Pacific Source sees a 30% cut in the payments it provides for mental and behavioral health services to Mid-Columbia Center for Living through the Columbia Gorge Coordinated Care Organization. Center for Living Executive Director Al Barton talked to Wasco County Commissioners yesterday about the situation, says the cuts would seriously impact their ability to deliver programs. Barton has commissioners sign on to a letter to Pacific Source protesting the cut it proposes in the contract it submitted. Commission Chair Scott Hagee says they need to do other steps as well. County Administrative Officer Tyler Stone noted this might be an opportunity to seek a new CCO. Barton said Center for Living offered to take a contract that would have had a 1/9 reduction in funding, but that was rejected by Pacific Source. Clickattack County Emergency Management Program is going to move its Public Works Department, or rather move Emergency Management into Public Works. County Commissioners gave their verbal approval of the change, which is part of the county's ongoing reorganization efforts. County Administrator Rob Van Cleve said the move is not a performance issue, but a desire to allow the Emergency Management Director to focus expertise on a major radio system improvement plan and the challenge of maintaining staffing at the County Dispatch Center. Van Cleve noting Public Works has a past history of running the Emergency Management Program in Klickitat County. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has called for the $4.3 billion transportation package she championed to be repealed after a referendum effort qualified for the ballot, saying the state needs to pursue other avenues to fund the Oregon Department of Transportation. The Statesman Journal reporting Kotek told the Oregon Transportation Forum on Wednesday that leaving the law in place forces ODOT to bear implementation costs without new resources, prolongs instability, and delays the real conversation we need to have about long-term solutions. Repealing the bill would effectively end the referendum effort, meaning voters would not get to weigh in at the ballot. Signature collection to refer some of the bill's cost increases to voters had begun immediately after Kotek signed the bill and kept the targeted parts of the bill from going into effect. Avenue's Health Columbia Gorge has gotten about 95% of its operations that were housed at Water's Edge in the Dalles, functioning at new locations, but there's no timeline established for reentering the building. Avenue's Administrative and Operations Officer Jamie Thompson told Wasco County Commissioners on Wednesday that they have had conversations with the Oregon Health Authority on code updates and the need to rebuild around those. Water's Edge suffered serious damage during the severe windstorm in mid-December. A Florida man died in a two-vehicle accident Monday morning on Highway 97 in Sherman County. According to the Oregon State Police, a compact SUV driven by 64-year-old Kenneth Frank McDonald of Bradenton, Florida, traveling northbound on Highway 97 at milepost 31 near Grass Valley about 4 Monday morning when it left the lane of travel for an unknown reason. The SUV collided head-on with a southbound white freightliner pulling a semi-trailer. The OSP says McDonald pronounced dead at the scene. The driver, a 32-year-old from Willows, California, the driver of the truck, was not injured. Current temperatures at this time, we can tell you that in Stevenson it's 34, the Dalles 35, Hood River 34. It is 8:39 in the morning. More MCT after this.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best in the gorge in attraction, family entertainment, and gift shop. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by SheFire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. SheFire, 980-1181.
Showers likely this morning. They could be snow showers in the upper valley. A chance of rain showers this afternoon. High temperatures, low to mid-40s. West wind 20 miles per hour. Could be gustier during the course of the morning. Hood River County School District on a one-hour delay today.
Wasco County MCR Blanket and Coat Drive is going on right now through February 2026. Give the gift of warmth this winter. Donations benefit St. Vincent de Paul Society and other local agencies. You can make a donation at North Central Public Health District, La Mito Alcana, Grocery Outlet, and Farm Stand. They're asking for warm blankets, adult-sized coats, socks, tarps, sleeping bags, and boots. Please, new or gently used and washed items. For more information, visit ncphd.org/coat drive.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM, and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're back at 8:41 in the morning. By the way, we had a late cancellation today. That's why we don't have a second guest here. That's been an epidemic this week, by the way. Well, I know the feeling, though, especially because nothing like coming back for vacation and have doubleheader basketball the first day back and the third day back. That's been my week. It's been running around a little bit, and a producer gets ill for a day. You know, that part of it too. Those things happen. Tomorrow, though, we do have a pair of guests coming on. Sarah Fox from Sense of Place. She'll be bringing along the person who will be a main part of the presentation coming up. We're going to talk about salmon on the 21st at the Sense of Place series. So we'll have that on, and then we'll talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center tomorrow. Monday, Mid-Columbia Center for Living. I think it'll be Al Barton, and hope so. We need to talk a little more about what you just mentioned in the news. Learned about that really being on the Wasco County Commission meeting yesterday morning. And actually, I stopped at the end of the show, turned on my computer, and Al Barton was discussing this subject. Glad I caught it. 30% cut is what Pacific Source is seeking. And I won't get into how this reimbursement works because it is complex and involves the Coordinated Care Organization, involves the Oregon Health Authority, then the requirements. What Pacific Core is the CCO has to provide. And this is happening with other counties as well. Bottom line being is Pacific Source can't cover all its costs under the Coordinated Care Organization plan. At least that's what it sounds like to me. But if they try to cover it by cutting the payments, Now the providers can't provide the service that they were doing. And this is the case, it's mental and behavioral health services. And in many cases, it's for people who, if they don't have this level of service, can end up in our judicial system. And that costs us money down the road, too. Really, this gets back to our whole healthcare system and how fatally flawed I think it is right now. But Al on Monday, I think, is going to be here. We'll talk Port of the Dalles as well on Monday. Tuesday, Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewart, Administrator Allison Williams, and Wasco County Commissioner Phil Brady will join us. Phil is on the Mid-Columbia Center for Living board, so I'm sure we'll talk about this as well. We tried at the last minute, but it was very last minute, and they couldn't be here because they both had other plans already. And they're two people who come on this show when I ask them to all the time. And I'm sure if I give them a date a little further out, we'll get one of them on at least from NORCOR board. Migo Hood River and Wasco counties, County Commissioner in Wasco, Scott Hagee, Hood River County Commissioner Ed Weathers. Back around the storm time, and that's why this didn't get much play, NORCOR held a work session and discussed various scenarios for moving forward. As we all know, NORCOR seems to be constantly facing budget challenges. And the upshot of this work session, though, it kind of turned over some assumptions about the jail and, you know, what makes it viable and what makes it fiscally solvent and what would need to happen. And it came to some startling conclusions, actually, in some cases. And I know we will get either Ed Weathers or Scott Hagee on the show to talk about it here in the very near future. I'll work on that this morning. Because I think it'll be a very interesting show, and very interesting for people to hear. NORCOR has always bubbled up in the news. About 12, 14 years ago, I think it was. You may remember Hood River County Commission Chair Ron Rivers and Wasco County Commissioner Rod Runyon butting heads over this issue and costs at the time and who was paying what. Now, that eventually, of course, got smoothed over. But it went on for quite a while. In this case, this isn't a really question of whose share is paying what or is someone's share enough. This is more an overall general question. If what all four counties are putting into this is enough. So we're going to plan to talk about that in the near future on the show, because that is going to continue to be a discussion. A few years ago, they tried to put an operations levy on the ballot for NORCOR. It passed in three of the four counties, but Wasco County defeated it by enough of a margin that it sank the whole thing. And they discussed that a little bit in the work session, and There were two factors that were mentioned involved in why it was defeated, one of which I put a whole lot more stock in than the other. The one I don't put a lot of stock in is, at the time, there were protests surrounding, not unlike today. No, it is unlike today because it's different today. But they had a contract involving Immigration Customs Enforcement and ICE detainees being housed at NORCOR, and there were local protests. And I think it probably did cause some people to vote against the levy. I don't want to say that's a non-factor. I don't think it's as much a factor as I thought that work session was giving it. Because quite frankly, knowing the political leanings of Hood River County passed that levy. If ICE detainees had been that big a factor in 2018 on an election, Hood River County would have defeated it too. The reason I give more stock to is that Wasco County just was simply taxpayers. They had a couple other ballot measures right in that time period. This sounds familiar if you're in Hood River County and what we're coming up to. And it just kind of ended up where county residents had said, enough, we cannot afford to do all this. And NORCOR was lost out in the end. I put more stock in that being the reason why it failed 8 years ago than the ice part of it. Mainly because, again, I think if that had been that big a deal, Hood River County would have defeated it too because of its political leanings, which is more generally to the left than Wasco County. Try not to generalize too much, but there is a reality if you look at the voting numbers. So we're going to make sure we talk about that. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm sure we'll be starting to get Jeff Helfrich on the show here as we get toward legislative session time in Oregon. Tina Kotek now calling for the ODOT bill to be repealed. I have no idea, given how much it took to get to a special session to be able to get this package. I don't know what you can do for a special session that starts on the 2nd of February, less than a month away, and runs to March 8th. My worry, of course, out of all this is, and why, frankly, I would not personally vote to repeal this. I may not be a huge fan, but I wouldn't repeal it. Again, I keep coming back to the 50-30-20 funding. I don't want to see the counties and cities, 30 and 20% respectively, held hostage in the ODOT discussion. And I need somebody like Jeff Helfrich to kind of, go through the background of whether that's the case or not. And I'm not sure from a political speech I know that. But that's going to be something to watch for. And by the way, while I'm sorry, I mean Washington legislators on the show beginning on the 21st. 17 districts, Kevin Waters and David Stebe will alternate on the program as they start up in Olympia this coming week on the 12th. The other thing from the news here I thought I'd throw in before we take a break, only because I haven't seen this before. And again, when you spend so long in one area as I have, I can't recall initially when Clickett County Emergency Management was under Public Works. My memory only recalls it its own department, but it may well have been, and I just didn't realize it. But there, emergency management in Clickett County is going to go back under the purvey of Public Works. Personnel aren't changing. Emergency management director, one of the reasons we're being told is this will free up the director's time to be able to focus on, they've got a major radio system improvement plan they want to get done. They've got, I think, a contract going out soon, or at least a request for a proposal, an RFP. And they also have the ongoing challenge of keeping staffing at the county dispatch center, which I think probably is a local, state, regional, and national problem. And so, I mean, that part makes sense. It's just, Hood River and Wasco County's emergency management has always fallen under that sheriff's umbrella. And I don't know that I know of any place else, and maybe I'm wrong. For all I know, it could be Skamania County, and I don't realize it. I'm not saying it's wrong either. It's just different for me for emergency management to be under Public Works. I can actually see some logic to it, actually, in some case, because certainly roads and infrastructure in a major emergency are compromised. They are a part of it. In fact, during the windstorm, Hood River County, Corey Weissner, Public Works Director, she is right in the emergency center. She is part of the emergency management team, along with Darren Ryan from the River County Health Department, along with Sheriff Matt English. Emergency Management Director right now, position, I think they're trying to fill that right now, Hood River County. There's been a turnover there. So, again, I just haven't seen this before. That's not to say right or wrong. I just haven't seen it before. It's unique to me. I'll ask our Clickett County Commission guest. I think it will be Lori Zoller, I think, coming up in January. I have to double check later on in the month. We'll ask her about that. Just random neuron firings there, things from the news. The ODOT thing in the Oregon legislature, that is going to be, I think, pretty much the central focus now of that special session. It was probably going to be anyway, and now it definitely is. We'll see. 8:53, we'll come back, wrap things up for you after this.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I am Imelda Padilla. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, and a proud member of this community. Being part of Skyline Health, both on the hospital and the foundation board, allows me to support the healthcare that this community needs to keep us strong. That's why I am committed to supporting Skyline, not just as a patient, but as a board member. This hospital makes our community stronger and healthier every day. I am Skyline.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Boy, last night, if you're listening to basketball games on our stations between the Blazers and the Hood River Valley Eagles, wild and similar finishes. The difference is the tip-in didn't count in Portland, and the Blazers got a win because of it. The Rockets had a tip-in just after the buzzer it was ruled. I think they went to video. I think they counted it initially and went back on the replay and found the tip came right after the buzzer, after the clock hit 00. So Portland holds on to beat Houston. Then here in Hood River, Hood River Valley gets a rebound follow at the horn to win over Hillsboro. 84-83 the final there, and a wild one. Unbelievable finish. Hooder was down 10 with a couple minutes to go. Frankly, I thought the thing was over. I remember saying that probably was the one that did it with 2 minutes or so left. Shouldn't do that with high schoolers. You never know. Eagles actually had taken the lead briefly. Hillsboro made a couple free throws, 9 seconds left. Eagles go down, miss a three, but Deacon Ybarra, nobody sealed him off at all on the other side of the hoop. Got the follow and put it back in, and it was before the clock ran out. In fact, we saw a video with the inside of the clock, and it did count. You don't use replay in high school basketball, thankfully, but it did count. It was before the buzzer. The shot actually came with a couple seconds to go. But a wild win. Eagles host LaSalle tomorrow night. We will be on at 7 o'clock. Only boys at home. Girls going to be on the road tomorrow. So a single varsity game will be on at 7 o'clock or thereabouts for a 7:15 tip-off tomorrow night for the Eagles and a very good LaSalle team coming in. Also, the Blazers play the Houston Rockets again on Friday night, I believe. Yeah, I think it's a home and home. A back-to-back set. And that'll be on at 6 on 93.5 KCFM. Also Friday night. Probably the one that will get more attention. The Ducks in Indiana will be on at 2:30 on Classic Rock 92.7 1029 KMSW. Pregame at 2:30, kickoff at 4:30 from the, quote, Peach Bowl in Atlanta. It's actually Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the home of the Falcons. First semi is tonight in the National College Football Playoff. It's the Fiesta Bowl in Tempe. So rather than have the two teams from the South playing in the South, they've got them playing in Arizona, Miami, and Mississippi. Again, they need to be a little more flexible. Oregon, Indiana would have been far better to be in Arizona, and Miami and Mississippi would have fit far better in the South. But they hard bracket these in advance. This whole playoff system is wacky. You got people in transfer portals. Mississippi's lost more assistants because Lane Kiffin and LSU is bringing them, and he won't let them coach any further because the portal's open. It's just a ridiculous mess that no self-respecting professional league would allow to happen. And, of course, Oregon's got the Jordan Davison injury to deal with and some injuries in the secondary. A every day I hear about some injuries, I just get less and less optimistic for the Ducks, unfortunately, playing Indiana. But we'll see. That's where you play them. And goodness knows, the Ducks have come up with some performances under Dan Lanning over the last few years that they got a shot. At least they're in this thing. There's only four teams left that can win it. Oregon's one of them. We're done. Out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Friday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
98.3 FM.